A rocket partly made of carbon fibre has launched into space from a remote site in New Zealand. The company behind it wants to take a slice of a booming market for getting small satellites into orbit, but the spacecraft by American New Zealand company Rocket Lab didn't reach the height it hoped for. David Cody reports.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
It was liftoff for the New Zealand space industry as a rocket roared into the sky.
Stage 2 engine ignited.
Founder of Rocket Lab, Peter Beck, is counting it a success, despite the spacecraft falling short of its goal.
We didn't quite reach orbit, but we'll work out exactly why, but we got a long, long way there. So it was really a fantastic first flight.
The Electron rocket is built of carbon composite, designed and manufactured in New Zealand in under 4 years. Its engines come from a 3D printer. Unlike SpaceX's Falcon, it's not designed to be reused, but Rocket Lab predicts they'll be built and launched at an unprecedented rate.
We're all about launch frequency, and we're trying to drive to a once-a-week launch. The trouble with metallics is if you start off with sheets of aluminium, you have to roll them, friction stir weld them, and then paint them, and there's a lot of processes to make a rocket. Whereas a carbon composite, literally we can laminate it in one hit and make a tank very, very quickly, and we don't need to paint it.
Rocket Lab is not aiming to take traditional satellites to space. Instead, it wants to help put up small devices that travel in swarms or constellations. They could be used for improved weather reporting, internet from space, or natural disaster prediction. Rocket Lab says it already has customers, including NASA, signed up.
Spacecraft that used to be the size of cars are now the size of refrigerators or smaller. And we're crossing this really interesting domain from space being dominated by governments to space being dominated by commercial entities. And the small satellite industry is the fastest growing part of the space industry. But it's really, really hampered by launch availability.
With approval to launch up to 120 times a year, Hawke's Bay on New Zealand's east coast proved the perfect launch site.
New Zealand gave us the launch frequency we needed, but also the launch azimuth, or the inclinations that we needed to reach. So out of the one site that we have in New Zealand, we have, you know, the largest launch frequency and also the largest launch azimuth availability in the world. It's really geography. It's what it boils down to. We have a very busy 2018 and even busier 2019. And we've got a lot of customers booked and backlogged, so it's time to open the throttles.
Professor Andrew Dempster, the director of the Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research, believes the launch is an important milestone.
We're in a period of what people are calling space 2.0, where low-cost access to space and the emergence of companies getting into space rather than large space agencies is where space is at the moment. So you need to be agile and quick, and that's what they've done. But it's getting to the point also where you can make satellites in a very short order as well and launch them on small launches like that one and get something relatively small into space quite quickly.
He hopes Australia follows New Zealand in embracing the aerospace industry.
The emergence of Rocket Lab has forced New Zealand to create a space agency because of the initiative they're showing there. It's very important they've done what they've done. We're hoping to do something similar in Australia with the launch just recently of some CubeSats.
The first of those small Australian CubeSats was deployed from the International Space Station yesterday. But engineers from the University of New South Wales haven't yet been able to make contact. It could have been damaged during launch, or the batteries may be flat. There's a chance it'll come to life after solar panels recharge it.
David Cody reporting.